Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you, and it may be with all of you. I am the stubborn SOB, Vitamin E Man, aka Emmanuel. On this episode, we have one Sean Bender.
Yeah.
And we are recording from our respective homes, honoring the shelter in place going on in California right now.
And Star Wars.
And Star Wars. Okay, we got to stop that before we end up getting sued. But I think everybody got the point. Happy Star Wars Day, everybody.
May the 4th be with you.
May it be with all of you.
You know, if I totally forgot that it was going to be May the 4th when this podcast comes out. I am not wearing Star Wars shirt. Robert Zemeckis, I got some.
If it makes you feel any better, I just thought about it right before we started recording.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
So
I can't celebrate days like that. I really can't because of my work schedule being what it is. And I would never ruin one of my favorite Star Wars shirts by going to work with it. I mean, that would be murder. Why would I do that, right?
You wouldn't.
No.
You'd be ridiculed. You'd be ridiculed if you did.
I know. It's not fair.
Good on you for not doing that, sir.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, as you guys are listening, it is, again, May the 4th. Completely blindsided me. I didn't realize it until Sean sat down. I was like, dude, this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I got to see if I can try to make a trip over to those giant cranes in Alameda, Oakland area.
Okay.
I remember last year I took a picture like on the outskirts of it, but you can still see it.
Yeah.
And I got to see if I can get closer, but I have to do it while I'm going grocery shopping because mm-hmm. there is a Target right there and I do go grocery shopping at Target. So
you go that far for Target? You go that far for grocery shopping?
Well, no,
I know where you live.
Well, if you shut up, I'll give you an answer. Now I'm not going to give you an answer anymore because you wouldn't shut up.
Fine.
Jeez. I'll tell you after the show.
All right.
Anyways, okay. So if you're wondering what's going on, as this is a two-person podcast today.
Yeah.
It turns out that Randy Kings is taking classes right now.
Yeah.
Man, what a
nerd. And how to be more of a debonair man, which is just overkill.
Nerd!
I mean, essentially, he's like, I'm going to take classes and being more charismatic. I'm like, shouldn't you be teaching those classes? I mean, I'm not saying like you're like the Gentleman Jack guy, but or like the Taquitos guy or Dos Equis guy, but...
No one will be the Dos Equis guy. No one.
I mean, yeah.
They tried doing commercials after that. It didn't work out quite as well.
No, it didn't. But
the guy lasted for like two commercials and they're like, ah, we're done.
Yeah, no, you got to get out of here. That guy from Dos Equis, he went to Mars. So don't worry about it. Yeah. He's doing his thing.
He did one more commercial after that. And then apparently he is working with a animal rescue company.
Okay, cool.
So that's cool.
He's still a classy mofo.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, the fact that he works for an animal rescue makes him even classier.
Yeah. I would like to know his views on Tiger King, but like whatever. Talk to him about that, like over like some Dos Equis. That'd be really cool.
That'd be funny if he actually hated Dos Equis.
I mean, well, whatever.
Like, he did the commercials. He did it for the paycheck, and they loved him, and they gave him more money. Like, he's not going to say no to it.
Yeah, no. But I mean, like, you know what?
But ultimately, he's, like, disgusted by Dos Equis. Like,
yeah. I got some Gentleman Jack right here, man. It's cool. We'll be all right. Just drinking this, like, some classy mofos, and then, like, a cigar or whatever, and dip it in brandy or whatever. However classy mofos do. I am not one of those people. Just saying.
You better not be.
I can't.
I'd be disappointed if you were.
You got to have goals. I think that's one I don't know if I can ever get. It's just...
Ladies and gentlemen, as you are aware, we do have this weekly podcast, but this podcast does also get uploaded onto our YouTube channel since we're actually using Zoom to record the entire thing. So
yeah, we might do this from here on though. We don't know. We might.
Especially if we want to get guests that can't necessarily come to Garage Studios. I think this would be a perfect way of going about it.
Yeah, or we should still drag them to Garage Studios.
I'm saying if they can't. I'm not saying that that's not an option. I'm just saying that they can't. Like for whatever reason, they can't. Oh, babysitter didn't show up or whatnot, or I live in Switzerland, so I can't make it all the way out there, guys.
You know, excuses.
Yeah. Bunch of weenies. Yeah, this is a good alternative, I think, right?
Sure. I mean, we asked George Clooney to be on the show, but he was like, I can't, you know.
He's like, I'm in the middle of shooting, guys. How'd you get this number? Why are you answering the phone? Why are you answering your phone while you're working, George Clooney?
Yeah.
Where's the professionalism, man?
Stop it.
I was calling to leave a voicemail. That's what I was trying to do. Sure, I mean, oh, there's no way George Clooney's going to answer the phone. And it's just like, hello. I'm like, oh
snap.
I didn't see this coming.
All right. Cool. I didn't mean to bother you, but I did call. So
we have this barbecue that we've been trying to get people to come to.
Yeah, billions of celebrities.
Yes. And Danny Trejo is going to bring his Trejo's Tacos recipe with him.
Sure. I don't want the man to cook, but he might.
Yeah,
we haven't done that bit in for freaking ever.
Well, we
man.
Can't. We can't do a barbecue right now because of the freaking shelter, all right?
Even when the shelter was up, we haven't done that bit in forever.
Well, we still have the list. It's at Garage Studios.
Yeah, okay.
So we still have that list. That's there. That's not going to end anytime soon.
No,
that's
suppose not.
That's going to end when we actually get that barbecue going. That's when we'll be like, we're done. I mean, we accomplished our goal. The whole purpose of this entire podcast was to throw a kick-ass barbecue with some of the biggest celebrities in the world. And once we do that, we can retire the podcast because we're going to just be internet celebrities on Instagram and Twitter and whatnot because all those celebrities are going to be following us.
Yeah, suck that, Joe Rogan.
How's that taste?
He's probably closer to that goal than we are.
Yeah, I mean, most definitely.
Let's be real here. All right. But on the real, I got to respect Joe Rogan. So look, all right, I'm going to be fair here. Okay.
So before you say anything, let me explain why we're talking about Joe Rogan for a second. We were actually talking about somebody else. Well, it's for somebody else we're going to talk about later on the episode.
Sure.
But the thing that I was showing Sean to give an example about is the guy was talking about Joe Rogan.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is where the whole Joe Rogan praise begins.
In my mind, yes.
In Sean Vander's mind, the floor is yours, sir. Why do you have so much respect for Joe Rogan?
Okay, so like a while back, I was looking for podcasts. I have a particular taste for podcasts. I'll give people a try for maybe months or so, and then I'll be like, yeah, I'm not feeling it. And then I've had one or two of them like completely cancel and be like, we're done. We're not doing another episode ever again. I'm like, damn, podcasting's rough out here.
Heavy, right?
Like, hey, this is rough out here, G. I'm sorry. And they have way more viewers and listeners than we do. And I'm like, all right, damn, I don't know. Okay. Sometimes you don't do it for the fun. But I like podcasts that sound very like DIY, do it yourself kind of thing, you know, and I think that's why I kind of like our podcast being like the way it is,
because it's being held together by wires and duct tape.
Well, and a lot of gumption and a lot of hot, but yeah,
but mostly exposed wires and
stuff. So when I was shopping around for podcasts, because I like Google Play for podcasts, Google Play is like, oh, Joe Rogan, and I'm like, no, not really. But then I go to another, because I have a bunch of podcast like options, platforms, and Word Vomit, of course, is on all of them.
Yeah.
But literally, like,
sneak
that
in, Sean Vander.
You're looking for podcasts? Okay, who? How about Joe Rogan? I'm like, God damn, shut up, SoundCloud. Oh, okay, cool. iTunes? Hell yeah. Hey, have you ever seen a Joe Rogan? I'm like, God damn, Joe Rogan, right? So I look at Joe Rogan's episode count. He's in the thousands.
And what's interesting is he even has side podcasts too. So yeah. there's the main podcast where he usually has a lot of celebrities, and then he has a specific MMA one.
Yeah, I get that. Like with the MMA one, fine, sure.
I can't remember his name. Brendan Schaub. He does it with Brendan Schaub. And then I think like Schwab ended up like separating. I don't think in bad terms in that sense. It's more so like he created his own podcast. But just the idea that he has this podcast. You're right. It's over. I think it's like in the 1500s.
That dude has been doing a podcast episode every day. And his podcasts are like 2 to 3 hours long. And I'm like, damn.
Yeah,
that dude is hustling.
The longest one that I saw was recently, anyways, and this was a while back, but it was the Black Keys episode.
Yeah,
and like, that one's 3 hours long. It's like, wow. And here's the thing: it's one of those things where, okay, there is a reason why I don't want us to do longer podcasts. Like, admittedly,
have to edit them.
Not just the fact that I have to edit them. That is part of it. But another reason is because, despite as entertaining as I think the three of us are, mm-hmm. it's harder to maintain somebody's attention span for that long. Or the actual participants of the podcast start feeling the fatigue. Now it's like they're trying to force it. They're trying to force, oh man, we got it. So there is that level of just like, I don't think we're quite ready for the 2 hour mark. Or
we're not in for the big leagues. No, I think we are.
The freaking Joe Rogan levels.
All right, Joe Rogan level is, he's on a level
of his own. And that's exactly what I mean. Because despite, again, I love the Black Keys. I never thought I would listen to a podcast going into the third hour and still feel entertained mm-hmm. and still willing to listen. It's like, whoa, this is crazy. Because they just go into so many different things. And it's enough to where it's just like, I'm still listening despite everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I can understand where your respect for Joe Rogan comes from. The guy, not only does he, as you mentioned, hustle, but he's really good at what he does.
Well, I mean, I don't know if he's good at what he does. I mean, his podcast is like, yeah, you know, that's Joe Rogan. That's cool.
It's like an open forum. It's an open forum.
Yeah, and it's open forum. And I'm like, yeah, that dude hustles, man.
And you got to also remember, it's
the only thing he's doing.
It's not just celebrities either. He'll bring in a whole bunch of different people. There was actually one guy that he brought on. It's actually one of the reasons why I stopped smoking pot.
Okay.
I know that sounds weird, but I used to smoke pot to help me go to sleep. You know, you get into that euphoric feeling and you start relaxing. You know, if you were tense, you're not as quite as tense anymore. Okay. But he actually got a sleep doctor, a renowned sleep doctor, to come on the show. And he asked him, he's like, well, what about people who use weed to go to sleep? And he goes like, that's actually not a good thing. And without getting too deep into the science, what he said was, is that there's four things that your body gets when you go to sleep. And if you go to sleep while high, you're missing out on one of those things. The chemicals that create the dreams that you have, if you dream, you're sleeping well. You're getting everything that you need. But when you're high, you're actually stopping that whatever that is from coming in. So it doesn't matter how many hours of sleep that you get, you didn't get restful sleep. And okay. I was just like, fuck. Like, so I've been doing it wrong this entire time. And I found out
wrong for years. Oh,
and
God.
I found out about this on a Joe Rogan podcast.
Sure.
What? Cool. All
right.
So
that dude hustles, man.
That dude hustles. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Good on you, Joe Rogan. You are, if we haven't done it before, you're already officially invited to the barbecue. You can be the MC of the entire damn thing for all I care. I think that'd be great.
He's going to podcast at a podcast barbecue, and I'm okay with it.
Shit, we're going to get the listeners, so hell yeah, why not?
Yeah, exactly. Well, right. Yeah.
So with that being said, the reason why we, you know, I got to keep this podcast going, Sean.
Yeah,
otherwise,
I know.
Otherwise, this entire podcast is going to be about Joe Rogan.
No, yeah, we'll stop.
We need to calm down a bit. You know, let's rein it in a little bit, buddy.
Well, we got an hour and a half. I mean, you know, no Randy King's here.
Knowing you, though, you would probably go on a rant about Joe Rogan for that 90 minutes.
No, just a little, another minor tidbit. I wanted to bring a little bit of reality to what was going on.
It's about to get real heavy with reality in just a second.
Yeah, if we wanted to. Yeah, okay.
So
that's why I wanted to do this. It was a little higher and happier on the reality scale.
So popular YouTube celebrity Philip DeFranco just recently scrapped the last week's podcast. He did not a podcast. I'm sorry. His
YouTube channel.
His video. His YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. The Philip DeFranco Show. Which, if anybody is not familiar with it, it's a show where he basically talks about the news in a very entertaining fashion. I mean, his opening tagline is "Sup, you beautiful bastards." Cool. Now, that in itself is just a great start.
Yeah.
And he recently scrapped the last episodes, and The reason why I wanted to bring this up is because we've talked about this before in the ideas of mental health. And I think sometimes people forget, which is a terrible thing to do, just that it doesn't matter where you are in the social standing of things, whether you're a 9-to-5 working Joe or you're a super mega celebrity. We all deal with the same issues in some way, capacity, or form. We all still have the same problems. You know, our cars can still break down regardless of how much money that we have. You know, things can happen that are completely out of our control, no matter how much money you have, whether you have a lot or you have a little. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that happened recently with Philip DeFranco was he put it out on his Twitter. And I actually have it here. I'm going to go ahead and share the
screen. Yeah, go ahead, screen that.
Anybody who's listening to the podcast and hasn't checked this out on YouTube, I am going to read it. But
absolutely.
You know, I'm on the spot here and I'm reading something, so bear with me if I make any mistakes.
Yeah, I hate doing that. But
okay. Yeah, you think you have it. You think you've got it, but you don't. It's just like, damn, mm-hmm. Here comes that anxiety. All right, so on the 28th of April, he posted this. The actual tweet in itself, it says, I know I usually use this note app format as a joke, but it was actually the easiest way for me to say this. Love your faces and see you soon. Heart shape emoji.
Sure.
Okay, so the actual reading goes, and I know a lot of y'all are expecting this to be one of my jokey note app apologies, but this is being real about my feelings and vulnerable for a change, even though I know some people are going to use this to mock or pile on. I was watching down what was going to be the 22-minute Tuesday Philip DeFranco show, and it was so obvious I was just going through the motions. My heart wasn't in it, and I felt like it could have normally... And I felt like I could have normally done a much better job. There he goes. I'm already messing up. Look at that. Y'all, I hate saying this because I always feel like my feelings are invalid and I need to suck it up because others have it worse than me. But I'm just so fucking sad. I've been trying to power through and mask what's become a heavier and heavier depression these last few weeks. And you know, sometimes when I power through, that results in out of nowhere silly videos like the last Friday that makes me happy. But more often, it just results my brain irrationally hating life while going through the daily motions and trying to hide that from everyone so you as a viewer can have a constant or at least a distraction with my show and my family / employees can feel secure since so many people rely on me. But by not sharing it, I end up feeling alone with it and it just eats and eats at me. But with that said, I'm scrapping the show today, scrapping the rest of the week, and I'm eyeing Monday to come back. I need the time to really focus on what I'm feeling and how to deal with it. I am genuinely sorry because I feel like I'm letting you down, but I also know myself well enough to know that if I continue to try to force it, I will just implode soon. So this is the better option for the long term. Love your faces and see you soon.
Yeah.
It sucks that even when we try to shine a light on mental health awareness, that we ourselves, if we're dealing with it, still beat ourselves up about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in Philip's case, I can't say that I can relate.
Oh no, I can.
I can sympathize. I can sympathize. I can't relate. But the fact that you feel bad about feeling bad is major heavy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's fuck, dude. Like me looking at it from my perspective, I'm like, dude, I just want you to get better. I want you to feel good. I want you to feel that if your body or your mind is just like, you know what? I can't do this. I need to step back. Dude, take the step back. It's fine. You know, the world's going to keep going. And when you come back, we'll welcome you with open arms. But that person still has that mentality of just like, I feel weak because I have this thing that I have no control over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, fuck, man. You know, it's one of those things where someone shouldn't have to feel bad for being sick, but yeah. We still have that mentality. And you, like you were saying, you actually have personal experience with this, right?
Oh yeah. I get depressed. I haven't seen anybody about it, but it gets bad. But this podcast, a lot of hobbies help mask it a lot. And yeah, if I'm not doing anything, then it gets really bad. If I can't find a very good video game to play, it'll get really bad. So,
how about that Final Fantasy VII?
Yeah, thank God for that. But it's not it. I needed that fucking like last year at some point when it was getting really, really bad. It's or even like a few years ago, fuck, that would a whole lot of helped. But
and now on a serious episode of Word Vomit.
No. We stop that. No, stop. Relax.
But so, you know what? No, yeah, get it off, dude.
So, like, honestly, I feel him. Like, I try and preoccupy my mind, and I don't go into a lot of the negative feelings that just happen. And I have felt bad just for feeling bad. Hell yeah. But I just keep, I have to, there's a, this is very personal, but I might as well just get it out there as easy as I can. Suicide has run really rampant in my family before because of depression. So it's not, so it's something I take very seriously. And I think like, yeah, I gotta not, I don't want to be like my grandfather or my uncle. So I gotta chill and stop this noise. I have to focus up and whatnot. And I don't want to go see a doctor about this, because if it gets really, really bad, then I have to see one. And I've seen what antidepressants do to my grandmother, and it is, she has her good days and bad days, and I don't want to be that. So I have to do something, because I look at things and go, you know what? If I don't fight for myself, and because yes, I am my own worst enemy when it comes to depression, then who's going to? So I have to find something. I have to do something. It's do or die. And I feel like that a lot. So, which has helped me often, where it's like, oh, we need people to work 15, 16 hours at work. And I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. And sometimes I've done 20. So it's like, yeah, okay. I keep going, because like, do or die, right? You just have to. Because the real fact of the matter is that death is worse than feeling really, really, really sad all the time, because it affects you, the loved ones, when you're gone. It's the truth. I've seen it. So that's the God honest truth. Do or die. And I feel like that all the time. So when I jump on a thing like a podcast like this, I'm like, hell yeah, do or die, go. And that's why it'll drive Emmanuel crazy. I'm like, why is our YouTube channel complete balls right now? Oh, don't worry about it. I'm like, fine, fuck it. I'm going to learn how to use Adobe Premiere. Ass. So, you know, whatever. And you just get busy, man. You just do or die, because death is worse, period.
And first off, I got to say that I do appreciate you being able to come out like that
on the
podcast for two reasons. One, I like to think that it's a little bit more therapeutic for you to just get that off your chest.
Yeah.
But the other thing about it, too, is that, you know, if there's anybody who listens to the podcast that's dealing with depression, they can see that, you know, somebody who's dealing with depression on a daily basis is still being very creative,
mm-hmm.
and is still moving forward despite all the negative emotions and feelings that you go through on a daily basis. You're still moving forward. You're still fighting it.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I do think, regardless of whether where you feel you're at currently with how you're dealing with depression, I do personally think you should go see some help for it.
Yeah,
not forcing it, not pushing it on you, just putting it out there that even it could even come to the point where they might not even need to recommend any medications or anything, but just so that you can get started on it.
Yeah,
and also safe. To be safe, right? And that's not just for Sean Vander; that's for anybody who's dealing with depression right now. It's mm-hmm. it's a good first step to go through. You know, we've talked about people who've committed suicide on this show.
Yeah.
You know, the two big ones that come to mind to this day to me is Chris Cornell and Chester Bennington.
Yeah, those were the two.
And those were rough.
Were rough.
I broke down crying after Chester, because it was like Cornell passed away.
Yeah, my two favorite musicians.
And then like within a couple of months, Chester passed away, you know? And it's just like, I wish that if I ever had the opportunity to just been like, grab them by their cuffs of their shirt and say like, go seek help.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of whether they felt like they can or they couldn't, just being able to say like, well, the effort was made. We showed that we cared. We want you to be healthy. And this isn't just directly to them. This is directed to anybody that's dealing with this.
Yeah.
Present company included.
Well, I mean, honestly, for them, it's like, because it feels like I've been there before. You always stay busy so you can fight all these bad feelings and the depression. I mean, I could probably go see someone. It's usually they'll prescribe me some meds that'll make me feel worse and may just fuck me up for a little bit. And then we go, these are wrong. Okay, try these ones. They'll fuck me up again. So it's like, honestly, I try to stay away from something that's going to give me like pills, because I'm not okay with the sort of thing where it's like, oh yeah, give me, you're going to make all that shit go away with pills. No. You have to face whatever is making you sad. So if anything is making you sad, it's like, you have to face it head on.
Now, mind you, again, this is what Sean Vander does.
Yeah. I mean, I'm probably borderline depression, which is honestly a lot of like conditions with me. I'm like, I'm borderline learning disability.
So
I'm borderline ADD.
So
I'm borderline.
What I'm trying to get out there is the fact that, and again, not an advocate for it, not getting paid under the table, but just being honest with it, is that the reason why it's everybody's different. You know, there isn't one wonder pill that's going to cure everything. There's no remedy item from Final Fantasy that's going to cure all ailments. It's like everybody is a unique case and they've got to try to find the right thing for it.
Yeah.
So while I understand how you deal with it, Sean, we also have to make sure that everybody else is aware of that.
I mean, therapy is something I've really considered too, but it's like paying for it is a bit of a pain right now.
Right.
But
the fact that you're still putting in that effort outside of, as you were saying, do or die, that works wonders. That should definitely be the thing. It's like you're doing and dying. And in this case, not only are you doing what you do as far as like work and what you do on the podcast, but on the same time of it, you're still also trying to help yourself out in other avenues. So
yeah.
And again, anybody that's suffering from depression, I do highly recommend seeking help. Again, what you might've heard from one person not working doesn't necessarily mean it won't work for you.
Yeah. God, no.
It's one of those things where it's going to be a long journey before we figure it out, before you're able to figure it out. In the sense of Philip DeFranco, it's the same case. You know, there's times where maybe you can force something through and you might be able to come up with something, but more times than not, it doesn't. You know, you start looking back at that work and you start to hate it. Like he said, like, I know I could have done better. I know I could have done this. Like, if I had tweaked this just a little bit, this would have been even better. Like, you start going down that train. And what's worse is that not only are you feeling bad that it came out wrong, but you felt bad that you didn't think about the things that you could have done to make it better. Like, why did I do that?
Yeah, no, I do that now. That was happening last night when I was editing first stuff for the podcast.
So my thing is, anybody who is dealing with any types of forms of depression or other mental health, it's okay, first off, to have what you have.
Yeah.
It's not something that you contracted. It's not something that you ate. It's not something that you drank. It's something that, unfortunately, that's the hand that you were dealt.
Yeah.
So it sucks, but there was nothing that you can do, something out of your control. So don't beat yourself up about it.
Yeah.
Sean Vander. I'm looking at the camera right now, trying to do this whole eye contact thing, but just in general, everyone else as well. Secondly,
I have my methods to cope. So, yeah. Secondly, I mean, I could go through them.
Secondly, don't be afraid to ask for help.
No, I'm not.
I'm not directing it directly at you. I was just teasing with you on that one. But just anybody who's listening, don't be afraid to ask for help. There are people that are trained to do this. Like, it's become such a situation that curriculums are created for schools, for doctors, for therapies. Like, this was made specifically because of the things that you deal with. So take advantage of those things. Don't feel bad that you have it. If you need a minute to step back and take a breath because everything just seems so crazy and anxiety ridden, that's okay too. Definitely take those. If you feel that way, the whole idea behind negativity and anxiety and pain is that they're supposed to warn you, or like, hey, something's wrong. Something isn't right.
Agreed.
It's the body and the mind's warning system that, hey, we need to stop for a second and see what's going on. That's what has to happen.
Yeah. So
make sure you do that. If you feel moments where it's just like, oh, things aren't going well, okay, take a step back, analyze what's going on, why I'm feeling this way, and how do we work through it?
Yep.
Philip DeFranco, that goes to you too, man. Whatever you're feeling, take a step back, analyze what's going on. We know why it's happening, so what can you do to get better?
Yeah.
Sean, I want to give you the last word on this one, because again, you're somebody who deals with it on a daily basis. I feel like anything that you have to say has more weight than what I'm saying.
Well, the thing is, I can't have last word. They're last words, sentences, paragraphs. But I mean, when I get in a funk like that, what I do, I mean, especially over work I'm doing, or even something I'm kicking myself because I'm not doing what I want to do. I do something like I be incredibly honest, which I have a form for podcasting. Nothing like crazy political, you know, of course, but I can find humor in that. And I try and find humor in a lot of things and I laugh at it. And, I mean, as the things trying to help me out, I'll play a video game that I cannot help but enjoy, or I'll eat my favorite meal and I'll do it up right. And, good Lord. Yeah. I'll listen to some music. I'll eat my favorite meal. I'll get a massage. I'll get nailed I'll try and get some sex from like a cosplayer who dresses as Harley Quinn, you know, whatever it takes to do to make you feel a little better. I mean, go for it. It's fine. I mean, you know, massage helps too. And if she's dressed as Harley Quinn, fuck, man, I can't think of anything better than that. I'm sorry. So you do you, and for Philip DeFranco, if it takes a week to do you, not even think about all of the stuff you do with your YouTube channel, the podcasts and all that, like step away for a week, like eat a cake or a pie or whatever, have some ice cream, chill out. Listen to some dope music, fall asleep to the rain, whatever it takes, you do you, man. And when you come back, it's cool, man. Like, don't worry about it. I mean, hell, I don't owe you anything, or you don't owe me anything.
Yeah, right. Yeah, wait a minute.
Other way around. My bad. Yeah. So you do you, man. It's cool. Where the fuck did that hair come from?
Oh. All right. Good to know. And again,
And get a Sekiro sword.
Oh, yes. Geez, here we go.
Get one. Idle hands, man. Idle hands. Go ahead.
Is that a sword or is that a letter opener?
Both. I mean, I could try and kill a man with this. There's no real edge to it. There's definitely a point. Fuck you. You know, whatever. It's fine. It's got a sheath. This is enough.
Is that going to be your bit this entire time?
Like, I don't know, man.
Like, the podcast bit is the barbecue, but your bit's always going to be that damn Sekiro sword?
Well, my bit was the podcast, or was the barbecue as well, but I mean, as long as I'm chilling at home and I got my Sekiro sword, I mean, you know, I have a problem when I bring it to Garage Studios. Then I have a problem. Tell you what, I had enough. All right, cool.
I'll put it back.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. So moving on from that, and again, one more thing to Philip DeFranco. We hope you get better.
Yeah.
On top of everything else that we just talked about, we hope you get better, honest to God. So, yeah. And when you feel ready to come back, we'll welcome you with open arms.
Yeah, dude.
All right. Yeah. So something that's going on with Universal Studios and AMC Theaters. Recently, Universal said that they were going to do a split release for Trolls. I think it was like World Tour, which was supposed to be the sequel to the original Trolls. I said it on the last podcast. I did go watch the first one in theaters, and I was surprised. I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it. I thought it was going to be super corny. And there are moments where it's just like, oh, here's the supposed feel-good moment, and there it was. But all in all, it was a really cool it was a cool movie.
Sure.
So when they announced the sequel, which was Trolls World Tour, and I think I saw the first trailer of it, I was a little upset because it made punk rock seem like it's the bad guy. It's sure. Like, no, nah, man, that's not cool. But it's just like because you know because they got like this happy music and they're all dressed up and nice and pretty, and then all of a sudden it's just like, oh, here's this person that's wearing spikes and this and that. They must be an evil character. Fuck off.
Yeah.
So
but, that's your genre of music. They're telling you you're evil.
Yeah, pretty much, right?
Like, yeah, there you go.
Because punk rock is, you know, it's the devil.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Where'd you hear that? The Catholic Church? Jesus.
I did, actually.
Well, yeah, you probably did. anyways, what ends up happening is because of everything that's going on, again, we don't actually name it here. We just, whatever's going on, a lot of movie theaters ended up shutting down. And Universal, obviously. Now there's both sides to the argument of this, but we'll get to that in a bit. But Universal said, hey, so what we're going to do is we're going to do a simul launch, which is a simultaneous launch. They're going to launch the movie in theaters and in streaming. So like if you go on YouTube or you have any other video services where you can purchase full-on movies, they were going to do it through there. And when AMC Theaters heard about that, they're like, if you do that, we're banning any future Universal movies, period.
Damn. Yeah. Go for the dick.
Fucking A, right?
Relax.
Now, and it's not just for Trolls, but if you think about it, like one of the big, you know, revenue bringers is the Fast and the Furious series, which is a Universal own franchise.
That I can't. Oh, there's a bunch of them, actually. So,
yeah, there's a lot of them, but like one of the big ones. Think about it. I mean, like, because think about it. There's over 10 movies, you know.
Well, I mean, well, the Dark Universe.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, I didn't last very long, but did it.
But no, all right. But for real, though,
I think if done right, that would have been awesome. If done right, I mean, that could be said about anything. If anything is done right, it could be awesome. But like there was. There's potential in that, and it's such a bummer that it didn't do very well. Anyways, so Universal basically said, yeah, we're not doing this. I know there was another theater that jumped on with AMC. I'm trying to find it right now, and I can't seem to find it. But here's an article. It's from The Verge. I'm going to go ahead and do a screen share so that people can see.
Okay, cool. And you got to read the article.
And I'm going to read the article for anybody who's listening
on
the podcast.
This is good podcasting practice if we're doing this, yes. And pardon me if I'm eating because we're recording a little late and I wanted to go touch up on that, but whatever.
All right. So according to The Verge, the article reads, AMC Theaters will no longer play Universal movies after Trolls World Tour's on-demand success. AMC Theaters will no longer play Universal films effective immediately after, quote, unacceptable, unquote, comments were made from NBC Universal CEO Jeff Shell on its decision to bypass a traditional theatrical release for Trolls World Tour and make it a digital exclusive, according to The Hollywood Reporter. So you know what? I got it wrong. I said that they were going to do both, but it turns out they're not going to do that at all. In a new interview with the Wall Street Journal, Jeff Shell noted that Trolls World Tour succeeded their expectation, pulling in nearly $100 million in revenue through digital sales alone and more than 5 million copies sold. Like I said, it must have been a good movie. As a result, Shell noted that as soon as theaters reopen, we expect to release movies on both formats. Okay, so I was partially right, but not just for trolls. Meaning some movies would continue with theatrical releases while others would go directly to digital retailers or possibly land on NBC Universal's new streaming service, Peacock. The move led to a lengthy statement from AMC Theaters Chair CEO Adam Aron, who claimed that Shell's comments were, quote-unquote, unacceptable. Quote, it is disappointing to us, but Jeff's comment as to Universal's unilateral actions and intentions have left us with no choice. Therefore, effective immediately, AMC will no longer play any Universal movies in any of our theaters in the United States, Europe, or the Middle East, end quote. AMC Theaters is the largest cinema chain in the U.S., and losing access to its theaters is a devastating blow for Universal's biggest upcoming film, including Fast 9, the ninth installment of the Fast and Furious franchise, which was delayed from this year until April 2021. John Cena is going to have to wait for his screen arrival on the Fast series.
That guy cannot get a break.
When Universal expected to give it a proper theatrical release, F9 is a movie that likely to generate close to $1 billion.
All right,
at the global box office, if not more. It seems unlikely that Universal will give up its share of that revenue, but Aron reiterated in a statement, this is not, quote, not some hollow or ill-considered threat, end quote. This quoting again, this policy affects any and all Universal movies per se, goes into effect today, and as our theaters reopen, and is not some hollow or ill-considered threat, end quote. Aron continued in his letter, quoting again, incidentally, this policy is not aimed solely at Universal out of pique or to be punitive in any way. It also extends to any movie maker who unilaterally abandons current windowing practices absent good faith negotiation between us, so that they as distributor and we as exhibitor both benefit and neither are hurt from such changes, end quote. So basically what they're trying to say is that they're not doing this maliciously, but because of Universal's actions, they feel like they have no choice but to go in this route. Now, there is an argument to be said for both sides here.
Okay.
The first being for Universal in the sense of at some point or time, I would have liked to believe, I'm going to go ahead and stop sharing this now.
Okay, cool. Do that. There you go.
Movie theaters in themselves were going to become less and less important in the sense because of how easily everything is accessible through the internet.
Whoa, let's not go that far. Shit.
You know what? It's getting in that direction though.
I mean, okay, I get that. However,
well, hold on. Let me finish.
All right. Okay.
Let me finish my thought. Because I said arguments on both sides. On that same token, you know, when you cut out that middleman, like how many jobs are you eliminating from that position for movie theaters? Like that's less revenue that's being generated. Let's be honest here. Movie theaters don't necessarily make money on the ticket sales. They make money on their concession stands.
Yes.
And if you think about it, I recently purchased a movie online. I purchased the new Sonic movie. You know, we had kept talking about it over and over again, how, you know, based off of everything that was going on, we had to show support, and it came out and it ended up getting really great reviews. And you know, I was like, you know what? I didn't get to watch this in theaters, but I'm going to go ahead and support it. I'm going to buy it. And I spent $20 on it. Which if you think about it is essentially the average when you go to a movie, more times than not, you go with a date, girlfriend, wife. Do you take the family with you? So that's like, let's say it's $11 a pop. So you're talking about $22 to $55 a ticket for the tickets. But you bypass that entirely for $20. You make your own food. You make your own popcorn. You go to the store, you buy the bags of popcorn for like 79 cents, maybe buy three or four. You still get more popcorn than you would if you went to the theater at a much lesser cost. You know, it starts adding up to the point where it's just like now movie theaters are slowly getting pushed out. I believe that this was going to happen at some point. I just didn't think because of everything that's going on, it's kind of forcing it to go through earlier. Sean took a bite out of something and he's trying to swallow it.
We're doing this podcast a little late, so dinner is right there. and it smells great. So, all right, here we go. Let's pump the brakes here for a second. Okay. To say that movie theaters are obsolete, wrong. No, dude, no deal. No. Calm down. Like, look, you need an excuse to go outside, okay? Like, you just do. And then don't give me the attitude where it's like, oh, yeah, the newest movie, the newest fucking James Bond is coming out, and I can just buy it and watch it from the comfort of home. If you want to be a homebody, sure. However, what, 90, 80% of the population would actually rather, you know, go out and do something, especially right now. Like, people just want to get the hell out of the house and even go to the beach or
whatever. Well, let me clarify something. I'm not saying that they're obsolete now.
Okay.
But I do believe that at some point they will become so.
Well, I mean, that's when the movie theater has to figure out how to just kind of be...
To
make people get in and get through the doors, man.
Here's a good example of it. Let's look at Netflix and Blockbuster. You know? So Netflix had their delivery system of DVDs when they first started out. They approached Blockbuster and said, hey, we think Netflix and Blockbuster can work well together. How about we try this? And Blockbuster laughed them out of the building. And then Netflix got bigger and it got better. More movie selections on DVD.
I heard Netflix tried to buy out Blockbuster just and try to fix their business, but they still didn't want to budge, and now they're done. So
now they're done. And then it came to the point where now they had their streaming services. So even when they had their streaming services, Blockbuster was still around for a little while. So it became the streaming service for like $10 a month at the time. I think it was like $9 a month. When it first started. So $9 a month, and you have access to a large library of music. I'm sorry, not music, movies. And you have that, you know, why go to Blockbuster? Why go to any video rental company at that point? I mean, even Redbox, which had a really cool way of doing things, of marketing it, like, hey, you can take this and you can drop it off at any Redbox. It doesn't matter which one. I thought that was cool. But, you know, ultimately... even that started to lose steam to the point where it was just like, why do you need a video rental store when Netflix already has most, if not all, the movies that you could find at Blockbuster? So the same mentality kind of goes with, you know, direct movies to home access immediately compared to the movie theaters. It's going to come to a point where it's just like, you're right, maybe the idea of being able to go out isn't incentivized, but if we go off of the Netflix Blockbuster ideas, we've kind of already seen that people have decided where they want to go in that sense. Not to mention, no thing says that nobody has to go or watch something from the comfort of their home. You know, we have these things called smartphones that allow us to access so many different things. We can go to a park, put on some earphones, and watch it there outside. And still get, you know, still be able to watch the same movies. Stop by a 7-Eleven to buy $1.64 and a bag of
you
chips.
You do that before you get to the movie theater. Whatever. Screw that.
You don't even have to hide it anymore. That's like, that's one less step. You're just like, I can eat this out in public and no one's going to give me shit.
Here's the thing. Okay.
The only thing that a theater may have are the bathrooms. Like, you take that 64-ounce and you drown that thing, you're going to need a piddle.
No. I want to say that being home has maybe made you a little more of a homebody.
Oh, dude, I was always a homebody.
I mean, I kind of was too. But let's relax here for a second. THQ sound. That big screen. Everybody showing up for like a Star Wars premiere and being like, oh, it's gonna be great. That hype, that love when movies premiere, you know, people are like, oh, I wonder if this is gonna be good. And people, you know, some people go to premieres and be like, I look forward to that and love the crowd and whatnot. And I dig that. And I dig that atmosphere.
Admittedly,
of a movie
so
theater.
Do I. So do yeah. I. Yeah.
I mean, and there's still people that go to like, wow, this premiere. Oh, this is a new Transformers movie. I wonder how much this is going to suck. And how am I going to heckle this in the movie theater? Hella hard. I don't know. Let's find out. There's people that enjoy that. They're jerks, yes, but there are people that still do that. They go out and they do that. And I love the movie theater. Okay. I just do. And the same reason I love the arcade and whatnot, but still, like, come on, let's not say that the movie theater is out of, is dying. I don't get that. I don't think that's going to happen.
Let me ask you this.
Okay. What?
Do you think this is a step in that direction? Because, like I said, I don't think.
No, I don't.
I don't think it's going to happen right away. I think it's going to eventually happen. And I think this is the step that's going to start that conversation.
Yeah, but.
Now, you're saying you don't. Please tell us why.
Okay. Because, one, you went with a completely different thought about this particular situation. This isn't, oh, the movie theater is going to be out of business because of one chain is not going to support Universal Films because of some things got said between them and Universal. No.
I did not say that was the case. I said this is the step in that direction.
No, because there's plenty of movie studios out there that'll be like, yeah, we can still put our movies out there and have fun.
And how many of them go through Netflix now for exclusive movies? Hulu.
How long did it take for that Sonic movie to show up on Netflix or Hulu? It took a while.
No, it didn't. The movie came out, and about a month later, they started doing the stream for it. You had to purchase the stream
because of everything that happened. Right now, yeah.
Exactly. But it kind of
goes. That's going to change once everything goes back, man.
Is it really, though? Yeah, I mean, if you look at what they said at just the Trolls movie, and how much money they made off of that, just going directly to people to just watch it online.
Mm-hmm.
What incentive do they say, like, hey, we should put this out on theaters for everyone else if they've already made what they would have made if it was already in theaters?
Because Trolls movie is a kid's movie, and kids' movies always make money, period. Now, do that ish for, God, something, I don't know. For like The Irishman, that was a straight Netflix film. Bet money there wasn't a huge buy for that movie. If it got into theaters and be like, oh, that new Martin Scorsese joint, all right, maybe I'll check that out. And yeah, it was easier to watch it on Netflix, but I mean, how much money did it net Netflix just having an only Martin Scorsese film that is only going to be distributed on Netflix? Probably not as much. And word of mouth didn't travel as much as you would think it did. I heard about The Irishman only on the sheer fact that Martin Scorsese made a film just for Netflix.
See, I'm disappointed in you because we talked about that on the podcast.
I know.
Before it was called The Irishman, we reported that Netflix had come up with an agreement with Scorsese and they were bringing De Niro back for it. So first off, shame on you, sir.
No.
Shame on you for not remembering that. How dare please. You were there. You were at that podcast.
That were discussed on podcasts I don't remember years ago. Who cares? It's fine.
Clearly we do because it's our podcast. Somebody else's podcast, I'd understand, but it was our podcast that you forgot.
I don't remember every story we talk about. There's too many. There's too many. But on the real Irishman, a fantastic film.
I think you're going at it the wrong way, though, because you had The Irishman, which was, again, a solo movie.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about Trolls has a following to it.
Yeah, but
it had a record-breaking yada 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 box office.
But so
office,
does this
yada,
particular
yada.
Filmmaker of Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, but when was the last time we got something from Scorsese?
It's been a minute.
Compared to Trolls 1 and Trolls World Tour.
Well, because it's been a minute because Martin Scorsese
So it's a thing.
Takes his time.
It's a thing where it's what have you done for me lately? Now, if Scorsese released The Irishman this year and then was going to release another movie next year.
Okay.
Then we might be able to have this conversation. But Scorsese hasn't done anything for a while. And it's a new generation. It's a new market now.
Yeah, it is.
To where, yeah, people like at our age can appreciate it, but ask a 15 to 20-year-old, hey, do you know who Martin Scorsese is? You know what Casino was? Goodfellas? All, what the fuck is that? You know?
Okay.
But you,
I'm okay, really so, hungry.
Yeah, I apologize. Clearly, you're just chowing down right now. So, okay. One of the things that you were saying briefly before I cut you off, and I apologize for that, is that I do. I always apologize, though.
Stop it.
You did say that this may be a call for the movie theaters to try something new.
Well, yeah. Look.
So what
there's a bunch of movie theaters that are out there that are like, oh, the whole Barco Lounger, you know, they massage your butt while you're watching flicks.
Like the fancy ones with the leather seats.
Oh, right. And then the ones that'll like bring drinks to you and all that. Like, those movie theaters, yes, they cost a bit more, but
the service is awesome.
Yes. Oh, God, I've watched The Hobbit in one of those. Oh, so great. Great, man. Yeah, but then movie theaters, they have to adapt. They'll adjust, and it's always been around, man. Everyone loves to go out to see a movie. You take one thing away, or it's like, why would I want to go outside when I can do this or that? And you're like, everyone becomes a homebody, and then that's coronavirus all over again. We can't do that, man.
If that's the argument, then why aren't more drive-through theaters around? I mean, that's a pretty cool idea. Everybody parks in front of a big screen, goes to a particular frequency on their radios, and have surround sound in their car in order to watch a movie.
Okay. However, and because I've been to drive-thrus, and there's one in San Jose that is, like, always packed because everyone loves it. Is it still around? I heard it closed down. Hell yeah. No, it's still around.
Oh, wow.
It's still around as far as I know. Oh, God, maybe it's close. Yeah. I don't know. But the idea that you could go out and watch a movie theater, go to the movie theater and check out, like, the latest movies. And, like, I'm not going to see trailers in like, something I'm going to buy $20 for a Sonic movie.
You don't know that.
I don't. They could change it. But, I mean, still, I love movie theaters.
And not to
mention, take away movie theaters away from me.
Not to mention, like, trailers are easy to watch.
They are easy to watch.
They post them on their YouTube pages. Like, Universal has their YouTube page, and Paramount has their YouTube page.
Yeah. Here's what I think the real issue is. Some things got said between Universal and AMC.
And got butthurt.
And both CEOs said something wrong and got butthurt. So now, this is what's happening. Which, damn, that sucks. And I don't even feel like you might feel the real impact. It's like, if you really want to see that the Fast and the Furious movie, you'll go to a theater and see the new Fast and the Furious movie. It just might not be an AMC theater. Like,
last question for you on this case. Who do you think is going to win this skirmish, AMC or Universal? NBC
right now, I think it's pretty ballsy for any movie theater to be like, we're never going to show your movies right now when you ain't showing any movies right now. And it might be like this for a whole year. And that's crazy right now.
So, okay, let me ask you this. Who flinches? That's not win. It's not who wins. It's who flinches.
Ooh, I don't know. I really, because you know what? Universal, yeah, it has that Fast and the Furious franchise. I can't for the life of me right now, because especially Randy Kings would remind me of what else they have. The only thing I can think of right now, other than the Fast and Furious franchise, is...
they're backed by Xfinity.
Are they backed by Xfinity?
Xfinity owned NBC.
Is Comcast? Ooh.
So it's Comcast versus AMC right now.
That's a fight. Who? I don't know. Well, you might think the movie theater would flinch. I don't know, man. I don't know. We go right back to that.
It's crazy, right?
I go right back to that Irishman. If you've ever seen the Irishman, where it's like, not De Niro's character, Al Pacino's character, because he was playing the dude. Oh God, he's playing Hoffa. He's playing Hoffa, and he is not backing down to this one Italian mob dude. And the whole mob is like, they need Hoffa. They like Hoffa. They're like, yo, Hoffa, calm down. You know, like, like chill the fuck out. Like, it would be cool. I'd be like, nah, Kim, it's not how you do things. And like, no, for real though.
Simmer down.
Calm down. You think you're not as untouchable as you think. And you know, he got popped for it. Like, I like to think that might be the situation right now, but once things, because I want to think that everything is going to, we're going to come out of this. If it takes a whole year, then we come out of this, then we come out of this.
You make
and
a
when
very...
we do, then maybe AMC's got a leg to stand on. Right now,
not so much.
Not so much.
Okay. You bring up a very good point. Universal can, you know, they can say, like, we're not going to do this. And AMC can slap what they're doing. Like, okay, no more Universal. But you're right in the sense of, like, there's other theaters that may be willing to take them on.
Yeah.
Like I said, I can't find the article. I know I saw it, but there was an article where it said, like, there was another theater that jumped on board with AMC in regards to, like, okay, well, we're not going to do it either. Regal.
Essentially,
AMC and Regal. Okay, Regal cool. Cinemas.
Because essentially what they're trying to, what Universal is trying to do is to put out Trolls publicly.
No, they did.
So,
they did.
So people could see it.
So what it is now for future movies.
Okay.
Where for future movies, they're saying they want to do both theatrical release and video on demand.
Okay. See, that could be a problem for movie theaters. One, I would like to think the movie theaters, like companies like, yo, you're basically putting people in risk for what's going on right now just to see a movie. We close down so we don't put them people at risk, just like everything else. And now you want to put that out there, put people at risk. I like to think that they think that. But right now, it's like, if you're going to put it out there, why is it not at our theaters? What's going on?
So we have two major theater chains, AMC and Regal. So let me
I can't think of any others than that.
Let me ask the question again now that we have a second.
Okay.
AMC and Regal versus NBC Universal. Now who flinches? Now that you have two major theaters that are like, you're going to do that? Can't have your stuff at our place then. And fuck this camera.
Yeah, I know. Sucks. I might just buy you one. Screw this.
Yeah. Thank you. So yeah, who flinches now that two major theaters are saying no to Universal?
Oh boy. That's a question right there. That's a like who flinches? Because it's like ABC is making content, and I'm sure it's expensive for them to put it out there without a movie theater company. And it's not like they own a movie theater company. They might, fuck, I don't know. But that's a great question. Yeah, and it's not like movie theaters are making their own content to show on their theaters. They do come up with things where it's like, hey, we have little events like the little Fathom events and whatnot. I love Fathom events. They're really dope. I'll show like anime or it's like, oh, you like Studio Ghibli? Hell yeah. Here's
three movies that we're gonna show for today and today only.
We're gonna show like Pocoroso or My Neighbor Totoro. Oh, it'd be great. They do things like that. It's different.
I'll say
that's so weird.
I'll say this. I think it's more towards the theaters that are gonna stand tall. Because again, you have two major theaters that are like, we're not going to show your stuff. So as of now, I'm saying 60-40 that NBC flinches. 60% that NBC does it, 40% of the theaters do. I will say that if another major movie chain joins AMC and Regal Theaters, Universal's going to back down. If you have three major chains that are saying like we will not show your stuff here, they'll like, all right, we take it back.
Yeah, because all they're trying to do right now is make any kind of money right now. And if they can find a way to weasel out one of their products to like publicly, they might try. They might try.
Especially with everything that's going on right now. I think the issue with the, it just dawned on me. The issue is you're right. We're dealing with the situation that's going on. So people can't necessarily come together to watch anything. So one of the things that I was thinking is like, okay, somebody can spend $20 and do a watch party, get a bunch of their friends to come over, bring food. They can't do that right now. So if people want to watch a movie, they have to cough up the $20 to watch it at home. But when people then have the option to come together, if you NBC Universal wants to continue with this pattern, what's to say that word vomit doesn't do something? Hey, we'll buy the movie. Just come on over and bring some food and we'll all get together and watch this. Well, that's, let's say for every two people that come in, that's like $20 that Universal lost because they didn't buy the movie at home. You know, that's 20, that's 40, that's 60, that's 80. So we get 10 people in there.
That's still right now with what's like, going on.
Yeah.
That still depends on people actually showing up and being social and going out. But
I think as soon as they lift the shelter, I think people are going to just do it in droves, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Once everything's lifted, I'm going to a movie
theater. Also have to put into perspective like what people do for UFC fights, where people will go to bars and pay like an extra $5 to get in. Like, who's to say that bars don't do that for Universal movies or anything like that, you know? Because they were released online immediately. Like, how much money would the bars make if they were able to get their hands on Fast 9?
Yeah. Or some bar company that is
there's arguments on both sides of this. I definitely have to hear what our listeners have to say about this. This is a crazy topic. I do stand by what I said, though. I do think that somewhere down the line, movie theaters are going to become obsolete. I don't think they're going to last forever. Nothing does. And once new avenues of being able to distribute videos out comes in, it becomes more prevalent and more normal. Why are people going to want to do that? I think so because nobody wants to spend freaking $10 for a box of popcorn.
Then don't go to the movie theater to go watch a premiere.
I defy you to try to go and do that. I defy you. Go to a movie theater, take a whiff of that freshly popped popcorn and say, no thanks. I'm going to sit there and watch this movie for 90 to 120 minutes.
I do that. I go, oh, don't worry about it. I have this hoagie sandwich in my pocket and we're cool.
I hope that hoagie explodes in your pants.
Like, don't be stupid. You could do this too. All right. I got you one right here. It's in my pants, yes. But you can, whatever. It could have been in your pants. And you could have been eating your pants sandwich.
No, we wouldn't, because I wouldn't do that.
Manuel.
Okay.
You just want to make things harder for yourself. I don't know.
Moving on. So we got a bit of a news in the video game front, the fighting games that Sean Vander and I love so much.
I love fighting games. I just don't like Street Fighter.
Yes, you do. You just don't like losing in Street Fighter.
I love the lore of Street Fighter. I just don't like playing Street Fighter 5 right now.
So we got some bad news to report on that. And that is that Evo 2020, the event that happens every summer in Las Vegas, and man, do I wish they would have chose a better time to do this event than summer in Las Vegas, has been canceled this year.
If you didn't see that coming a mile away, I don't know what to tell you, man.
I know that for the longest time, Evo was trying. They were basically trying to go through every single possible solution that they were trying to come up with. And you know what? I give them credit for trying to do so. I really do, because that means that they really, really wanted this event to happen.
The only image I have in my head is like Homer and Bart running after the pig. Like, oh,
it's just a little airport. It's still good.
Yeah, no. It's a lot of people dying. It's still good.
It's just a little airport. It's still good.
Dude, come on. Come on. Of course it was going to get canned. And what sucks is that, okay, look, fighting games, like right now, asses, like promoters and guys that are like sponsors or whatnot. This sucks for them real hard. Because yeah. Evo is their Super Bowl, and it is just, it's rough, man. It is real,
so,
real rough.
Check this out. Evo 2020 canceled from GameIndustry.biz. Organizers pull the plug on July-August event in Las Vegas. Plan an online replacement. Oh, that's going to be fun.
Oh, boy.
Evo 2020 organizers stuck to their plans for the Las Vegas fighting game tournament for weeks in the face of the current situation. Don't want to put it out there. But finally relented today. The cancellation was announced in the post on the event's official Twitter account. Quote, due to, not going to say it, we are sadly canceling Evo 2020 at Mandela Bay and refunding all purchase tickets. The health and well-being of our community is our highest priority.
Yeah.
We hope everyone stays safe during this time, end quote. Evo 2020 had been set for July 31st to August 2nd. Organizers are also planning an online replacement event this summer, quote, to keep the Evo spirit alive, end quote. After the postponement of GDC and the cancellation of E3, Evo 2020 organizers had originally planned to go ahead with the show, saying in mid-March that it was moving forward to hold the event as planned. Man, did that get slapped down hella quick. Just went.
No, not slapped down real quick, man. They were trying, man. I get it. It's fine. And I don't think it's like money that they're making or whatnot. I think those guys, I think Mr. Wizard and Mark Julio and whatnot, they throw all that events and whatnot. I think they're really, really trying. And it does. It's not like about, it's not about the money for them. I think it's about the community for them.
Absolutely. And, especially Julio.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Mark Julio. Man absolutely loves the fighting game community.
Oh, yeah.
And is willing to bend over backwards for them. Mm-hmm. So I think you're absolutely right. I mean, don't get me wrong. The money's nice. Yeah. But you know, he was doing it before he was getting paid for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, that dude's a pimp and a scholar. But with whatever thing is going on right now,
you know what? He's invited to the barbecue and he's going to set up the fighting game tournament. We're going to see Clooney and Trejo go at it in Mortal Kombat. That's what's going
to
happen.
Dumbest game of Mortal Kombat ever to happen.
Hey, you don't know that Clooney doesn't play.
Prove
me wrong.
I think Clooney has other things to do better than to worry about his juggle game in Mortal Kombat. But
yeah, but with the amount of money that that guy has made, who's to say that he doesn't have a copy of Mortal Kombat and a TV whenever he travels?
Maybe. I doubt it, though. He could play other games.
You're right. You know what? You can doubt it, but that you can also doubt that he doesn't do that.
Yeah, I can do
that. Unless you can tell me for sure. Clooney comes out in an interview and says, no, I don't do this. There is a possibility. Schrodinger's cat for video games right now. Cat sure. is dead or alive under there. Clooney does or doesn't play in the box.
All right. But.
Or you know what? Trejo could be bomb at it. He could be a sick Cabal for all we know.
That I might believe. That I might believe. This, yeah. All right, regardless. See, now I lost my train of thought with this shit.
Okay, so we were saying Mark Mann loves the community.
Yeah, no, I bet those guys were like, man, we maybe had 2 months to kind of work this out. No. Even two months, you can't perform at a peak level in like 2 months. Like,
I am genuinely curious.
I'm sure everyone is practicing like crazy.
How are they going to do this? How are they going to do an online version of this when a lot of the video game netcodes in themselves aren't that great for fighting games?
Oh,
And then you say you want to do like this whole thing. Like, I guess if I were to think about it, there would probably have to be a Zoom video. It would probably have to be set up like this where the players are in front of a camera in their homes. A third screen for the actual game and someone that's moderating it. The camera has to show full footage of the person playing on the fight stick. Let me finish, you asshole.
I didn't say anything.
Yeah, I see you shaking your head. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That was for anybody who's listening to the podcast. Check out the video. It's a lot of fun, actually. But you know, it has to be like showing video so that nobody has a turbo controller or accidentally pauses the game. You know, the whole rule setup of it. Sean, you asshole. I know you're doing that on purpose, being a real asshole right now. Anybody who, okay, we've talked about this for like the last four podcasts. Sean and Randy can grow their hair out and it comes down silky smooth.
I took my down hair, my hair because I my have to get serious.
My hair gets all nice and fluffy and sticks up. And every podcast, you lying bee, they always take off their hats. They always untie their hair and they always let their hair ride free. And if you think I'm lying, check out episodes 190 and 189 and see these dudes let their hair flow out. You guys are dicks.
Okay.
So, yes, in order for them to do this, it would be very, very convoluted way of actually doing this online.
Mm-hmm.
Because they need to have, like, the witness. You know, they have to record the gameplay, all that. And, you know, something that should be very simple if, like, three people are in the same room. They have to go through hoops in order to do this. And like, how many people sign up for these things, you know?
So recently there was there's been some like sanctioned money matches in Tekken 7. And I went, oh, that's cool. And how they verified it was they did it on a dude's stream. So you can go to a guy's stream and whatnot, but even getting like a video feed of the guy playing it from like Japan, oh god, his net code's gonna be fabulous. Yeah. It's not gonna be, that's why it's not gonna work, especially like games like Street Fighter. Look, let's be real, they changed the net code. They're like, oh, it's rollback now, it's like, but it's their rollback, it's their proprietary rollback that isn't as good as your standard like rollback, like the rollback guys use. Oh god, blah, 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 blah. Like Iron Galaxy uses, what the hell are their names? Shit, I totally forgot. All right, it's fine. But
are those the guys that are working on Killer Instinct now?
Yeah, the Killer Instinct plays pretty good.
I know they weren't the ones that created the new one, but I know they were the ones that took on the reins afterwards.
Yeah,
because the original company got bought by Amazon.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, yeah.
Damn, I don't know, man. Like right now, the online situation for a lot of games, like let's say Smash Brothers, huge, popular at Evo, right? Oh God, that net code on Smash Brothers and Nintendo servers? No.
Yeah,
don't do it.
I played it a little bit online. It's
not bad.
It's not what it would need to be for tournaments.
Yeah. Street Fighter tried to get better. It's kind of serviceable now, but it's still really bad. I don't know if it's the servers or the rollback system itself. I have no idea.
And then again, I'm thinking of it not just in the sense of the software that's being used, but like just how many people sign up for these things, you know?
Yeah, no.
Like I've gone to Evo twice, and mm-hmm. That place is always packed.
Oh yeah.
Like
I want to go so bad.
Like if you breathe too heavy, you're going to pass out kind of thing. The air is thin kind of filled. Like how do you do that for online, you know? Like
you can't.
Like where is there now a cutoff time for when people can sign up, or is there a limit to how many people can sign up? Like
here's why
I am simultaneously concerned and excited, because I'm excited because there is also the possibility that they figure out something really, really cool with doing this, like how they do it moving forward. Yeah. But it's one of the things where we have to sit and wait, you know?
Like, yeah.
Do they stretch it out from what was supposed to be a 3-day event to like 3 months so that they can start going through the preliminary matches and whatnot in order to find out who goes where on the brackets? Like,
Let's see. I think this year is a wash. Like, I mean year. Like, complete. The whole year is a wash on everything. Fighting games, not, like, the biggest thing up there. But if it were me, I would do, invitation only tournaments. You get, you know, the Daigo, you get Fudo, you get a bunch of other guys, you get you get Punk, you get K-Brad, you get Justin Wong. Wherever they want to play, wherever they, whatever games they play, you make it invitation only and you chill it out, right? Or, and you, there's a lot of players, and I mean a lot of players. You want to do the prelims for that sort of thing? Fine, do it. And whoever makes the prelims, cool. But a lot of stuff has to be maybe invitation, sort of like, oh, like this no-name dude's going to be playing Justin Wong or whatever. Some online warrior can play Justin Wong. Fine, whatever. It's not like they don't play already, right? And you could post, you could put that up on like a YouTube or Evo or however they want to do the show to keep the spirit alive, sure. But this year's a wash. So any special event they were doing to where they were going to be like, oh, this new game's coming out, here's the trailer or whatever, wash. Can't do it. Like that whole Marvel versus Capcom 2 invitation, complete wash. Horrible. It sucks. I would have loved to see a Marvel versus Capcom 2 tournament. I'm just not going to see it this year. And it sucks.
Oh, this is Capcom Champions. Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that.
It sucks, but whatever. Yeah. Maybe next year. Maybe next year. So this year, wash.
I wanted to I wanted to disagree with you, but you're right. Wash. Nope. Yeah, because I mean, because my whole thing was that, you know, the whole point of Evo was that everybody can come together, you know, pay the $55 just for the entry and then the $10 that goes into the pot, you know, so that everybody can try and everybody can play.
Yep.
But you do make a good point. Like with what we're given, with the hand that we were dealt, this is the best play that we could make.
Mm-hmm.
But again,
not the only one that got affected either.
Yeah.
CEO, but again, Combo Breaker, they're done.
Again, though, I mean, we have to wait and see what they have up their Canada sleeve. Cup. You know, done. See what they might be able to do, any ideas that they might be able to go off of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe this, there's this this idea that scientists do love to work on experiments with restrictions because it forces them to think outside of the box. Like, you can't do this and you can't do this. It gets their brain going like, oh, well, we can do this and we can find this workaround. And I'm kind of hoping that situation happens here. You can't do what you normally do. That's the restriction.
Yeah.
You're in this box now. Figure it out. And again, someone who's been doing this for as long as he has, Mark Julio, might be planning something in his head and trying to work something out to where everyone can still participate. That being said, though, if he's not able to figure it out, just so that we can have something to continuously go,
mm-hmm.
I think invitation only is a good way of going at it.
Yeah.
If anything else, to at least still promote the actual fighting games in itself.
Yeah. I mean, especially in places, if you want to alleviate a lot of the lag and like that bullshit, you could do invitation only with just Asia, or invitation only with just America or whatnot. And then in Europe, same thing. South America has a huge scene in fighting games. And even, especially Tekken 7, oh my God.
Do you remember
in India? Their scene is brutal.
Do you remember when GameStop put on a Street Fighter tournament when Street Fighter 4 came out?
Yeah, you ran it. I was there.
Not that one. Not that one. It was the first one that they did, like GameStop worldwide, or at least nationally, did a Street Fighter 4 tournament.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
I went to that one.
And every store had, like, every store, which I thought was super cool. It was one of the shining moments of my GameStop history, was that every store was a place where you could compete.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, every store had its brackets. And then everybody who would win it would then go to another tournament. And I think, like, they ended up finishing the tournament in San Francisco. Something like that, yeah, where they like everybody came together, and this was like Street Fighter early in its lifespan, like maybe it had been out for
now. It was Vanilla 4.
6 months,
yeah, it was Vanilla 4, exactly. I remember,
yeah, and I think that might be a really cool idea of doing it to where you have your invitationals, but for anybody who still wants to compete and still try to go up, like you have those, like those smaller tournaments, like, okay, from this region to this region, you know, if you live here, first off, don't use a VPN so that you can try to get into a tournament in somewhere else.
You can't now. You don't
be
then.
You don't be a dick. Compete where you're at. And, you know, just start weeding yourselves down until the best of the best come out of it. Mm-hmm. And then still have your invitationals for the heavy hitters, you know?
See, that's the problem we're having right now. So everything right now is all invitation, or not even invitation. It's just, it's going to be online.
Yeah.
So let's say you spank my asshole raw in Street Fighter V, and I go, fuck this, I could just use my VPN and play in like Utah or Paraguay or Hawaii.
Are you saying it's like my Tuesdays then? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's not, because we don't play Street Fighter.
Oh, but when we did
Street Fighter. How long ago?
A year ago.
Still, no, it wasn't a year ago.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't a year ago.
Yes, it was. It
wasn't a year ago, dude.
Yes, it was.
It was totally before the Four Gamers showdown.
We had matches after that. We had matches after that.
Regardless.
Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen. That was my Tuesday.
No, it wasn't. I work Tuesday, so you're lying to your
No, pants. I'm saying that's my Tuesday. If you remember the Street Fighter line.
Okay, whatever. Regardless, look.
That was the greatest day when Bison entered your village. But for me, it was Tuesday.
So all I'm saying is this.
He pulled out his Sekiro sword, ladies and gentlemen.
Honestly, the problem is you're going to be dealing with a lot of these online trolls, of course.
Do
VPN and go play somewhere else since they got spanked and whatever, and there's like no legitimacy to it. And that's the problem with online tournaments.
There are restrictions to that, though. If I recall correctly, there's certain places, if you try to go there with a VPN, it'll say like, hey, we're detecting a VPN. You can't access us with using a VPN.
Yeah,
disconnect your VPN. Ass. So you're aware of them.
I agree. What's this? A lag switch? Get the fuck out of here. But they can't detect that.
Yeah. Ultimately, we're just going to have to wait and see what they come up with. I mean,
yeah, the trolls are just going to have fun. But, like, honestly, the real people you want to watch aren't going to play against some trolls, especially in like in an official capacity like this. So like, why would
also,
I even
those lie? I would say those same trolls would also be people that would just try to wreck the whole thing in the sense of a DOS attack or anything.
Yeah. If it gets DDoS, then fine, whatever. I mean,
no, I'm like, that's another thing that they have to worry about. So
yeah. And then we get to talk about on this podcast, like, oh, the Evo online tournament got DDoS.
We called it, and then, like, you know, check out episode 192.
Exactly,
what we said was going to happen. Happened.
I don't know what to tell you, man. It just happens. So it sucks. It sucks. But this isn't the only one that happened to, I mean, DreamHack Canada Cup, I think is still trying. You know what? Canada Cup, I think, is still trying to hold on hope like Evo was.
I will say this. Damn, that's loud. I mean,
those are the big ones.
If Mark Julio wants to give us a call and say, like, hey, guys, you have any ideas? Got no problem trying to.
Hell no, I have none. I say, this year's a wash, Mark.
Well, I was just saying, if he says it, I'll answer the call. I don't know how much of a help I'll be, but I'll answer the call.
Sure.
All right. So we've just about hit our 90-minute mark, sir.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Yeah, and I think we were able to hit everything we wanted to talk about as well. So, you know what? Actually, I've got something here. Message from the Dalai Lama. And I will use this as the final word for me.
Okay, cool.
So, Sean Vander, if you please.
Okay. I'm going to be streaming a little later tonight. I got to see if my friends are on for down to play some.
Well, remember, it's Monday.
Oh, yeah. Well, so as we're recording this, on a Saturday. So
what he's saying is he streamed on Saturday. Go to his Twitch page to watch what he did.
Yeah. Last week I didn't, just because of just some things. And I was really tired after the whole collaboration with 10x10 and whatnot, because those guys are really awesome. Thanks for showing up, guys. I'm working on the video now. So expect to be seeing something with that. I kind of want to talk to them about that video too, like face to face, or not face to face, but like
best of Zoom yet. Yeah.
Yeah. About that. But I mean, we'll see what happens there, but I'm going to stream, again, like later tonight. If I can't get anyone for Soul Calibur, I might just like be shooting the shit on Final Fantasy VII, and we'll see about that.
That's what I'm doing after this, yo.
Yeah, I think that's all about right. It. Oh yeah, and check the YouTube channel at Word Vomit Productions. There will be more content, I promise you. This video, your podcast that we're doing, will show up. 10x10's video podcast up there, what we did with them, is up, and the week prior from that is up, and yeah, and hopefully we start doing more LPs. We're gonna have to figure out how we're gonna do that.
I've already figured it out.
Okay, cool.
All right.
So yeah, there's that, and check out the stream at Vander978 at twitch.tv.
Right on. All right, so you know me, I always end off this podcast with the line that Patton Oswalt, deceased wife, always said, in times of chaos, be kind. But recently, the Dalai Lama actually came out, said a little something, and I'd like to read it off. I think it would be a great closure point. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. And we will see you on the next podcast. I leave you with the words, as I read them off, of the Dalai Lama. And that is this. In this time of crisis, we face threats to our health and sadness with the family and friends we have lost. Economic disruption is posing a major challenge to governments and undermining the ability of so many people to make a living. It is during times like this that we must focus on what unites us as a members of one human family. Accordingly, we need to reach out to each other with compassion. As human beings, we are all the same. We experience the same fears, the same hopes, the same uncertainties. Yet we are all also united by a desire for happiness. Our human capacity to reason and to see things realistically and clearly give us the ability to transform hardship into opportunity. This crisis and its consequences serve as a warning that only by coming together in a coordinated global response will we meet the unprecedented magnitude of the challenges we face. I pray we all heed the call to unite.